Welcome to the Kingdom Truth Podcast. On our podcast, we teach the good news of Jesus Christ and biblical principles that empower all people with real-life, timeless applications. I am your host, Bible teacher, Yolanda Tyler. Well, praise the name of the Lord. We are so excited that you all could join us on today. We have a beautiful woman of God on the podcast. Her name is Lady Tanya D. Titus. Lady Tanya has a beautiful anointing on her life, and she is a blessing to the body of Christ. Lady Tanya D. Titus was born and raised in Washington, D.C. She is the youngest of three children. She was raised by her grandmother in a Christian home. Lady Tanya remembers attending church regularly. At times, she would ride the bus alone to attend services when her grandmother could not go. Lady Tanya has always been very independent. At the age of 16, she surrendered her life to the Lord. She loved the Lord and served in the youth choir. She also attended Sunday school regularly with her grandmother. As a young adult, she attended church whenever the church doors were open. She felt that the church was her safe place. She was not one to hang with the crowd at parties or in bad places. Later in life, Lady Tanya started attending Refreshing Springs Church of God in Christ. She enjoys serving God's people. Throughout the years, she served as a pulpit attendant, Sunday school teacher, church secretary, and part of the ministerial staff. She always had a desire to learn the Word of God, and she also attended Bible college. While ministering at a youth day camp, Lady Tanya met her husband, Apostle Calvin Titus. They got married, and the Lord called them to plant a church, the House of Prayer Worship Center in Sumter, South Carolina. She enjoys serving alongside her husband as First Lady. She believes in the scripture, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all of your might. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10a. Lady Tanya is a radio host on Women Inspirational Radio. Her podcast is When Queens Bounce Back. God has also blessed her to be the founder of When Queens Talk It Out, an outlet that inspires women of all ages to share their stories, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Lady Tanya is a woman of prayer, purpose, perseverance, and she fulfills God's divine plan for her life. Her journey in life has not been an easy one or a bed of roses. She has experienced much trauma, pain, and suffering. Her family calls her the miracle baby. Lady Tanya is here to share her story with us today. Thank you so much, Lady Tanya, for joining us. And go ahead and share with our listening audience.
Yes. First, let me say thank you for having me here, Miss Yolanda Tyler. I am so appreciative to be on your podcast with you to share my story with your listening audience. And there's so much I can share, you know, just starting out from a young child, you know, being hit by a car at the age of 5 and just, you know, walking home from school by myself and, you know, and just remembering how everything started, you know, me walking across the street and I remember seeing a lady just trying to maneuver to the left or to the right. But of course, she ended up hitting me. And at that time, when she hit me, I was stuck under the car. I was drunk, maybe a block and a half or 2 blocks or more. And the people had to stop her, you know, from, you know, to let her know that, you know, I was stuck under the car. And so, you know, during that time, you know, I just remember so much. At the age of 5, one was, you know, surrounded around me, laying on the street, concrete and things like that. And then being at the hospital and just seeing my grandmother there and, My family, my mother, and things like that. And it's, at the age of 5, a lot of people don't remember things at that age, but God has graced me, with a memory that I can remember, being hit by a car and other things. And so during that time of an accident, I would say that the doctor gave me 50-50 chance of living.
Wow.
Hit by a car, at the age of 5, I can't even recall of me even feeling the impact of the car. And
Wow.
so as I was told that my kidneys was ruptured during the accident, and I guess from the impact from the car and being stuck under the car, my head was bust open on the left side. The scar is still there, and my kidneys was ruptured and my spleen was ruptured. I have one kidney today, and I don't mind telling individuals I have one kidney because it's a testament to me, because you hear a
Amen.
lot of people who go through kidney diseases, and they go through dialysis and things like that. But I look at it as mine was being from a car accident, and so I never had issues with any of that, but just that one kidney being removed because it was ruptured. So my right leg was broken in three places, and it's just so much. And God has graced me for so many, many years to be here to tell my story. And that, and I often tell people, when I do hear people go through dialysis and things like that, I say, you know what? I have one kidney. You can live with one kidney. And
Amen.
so with that, I am just so grateful for the one kidney. And that one kidney is healthy, and doctors always say, that kidney is doing well and no issues on that part. So I just thank God that I'm here and I'm alive to tell my story and to
Amen.
others, that they can bounce back from, the trauma of pain and incidents and accidents and things like that. Only if you just trust God. I had a family.
Amen.
I remember being in ICU, and my grandmother, grandfather, I think my mom was standing there as well. And I
Yes.
remember my grandmother having on a purple dress at the age of 5, a purple dress. I remember her standing there, and
Wow.
that purple is royalty. And I thank God for the royalty and the prayers of my grandmother that I'm still here to tell what
Amen.
they'll say of the Lord in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now you said that they brought you to the altar too, and they were praying over you. So what was that like at such a young age? You said you were
Yes,
just crying at the altar.
I remember my mom standing there, my grandmother, and the ministers of the church, just praying over me. You're right, I was sitting at the altar, and they were praying over me. And I don't remember what they were all praying, but I know the prayer was there, and me crying. They was just praying God's healing over my life, and
Yes.
having a ruptured kidney and a spleen. My spleen was not removed, but my spleen was ruptured, and my kidney was removed. So that's them praying over me, and having a broken leg, they was praying over my leg, just being able to walk, and I'm just so grateful that the prayers of my family was answered,
Amen.
because I'm alive today and I'm able to walk. I'm able to function, with one kidney and
Amen.
things like that. And I know the spleen, it helps with the blood flows, and it keeps you from, infections and colds and viruses and things like that. And God has, I don't say I've had a cold or anything like that. Of course, we all get colds,
Right.
but and I read up on things, and so, and I thank God that with the spleen being ruptured, that's, still operable, and the kidney is everything. So they prayed over me, and thank God that the prayers of the righteous do avail much. And so I
Amen.
appreciate the prayers of the righteous, because that scripture does hold and speaks volume. And the word
Amen.
of God says that by his stripes you are healed. So I thank God that I am healed today.
Amen. Amen. And also, Lady Tanya, you shared that those scars that you have remind you of God's faithfulness. Talk about that.
Yes. Let me start from the scar, that's when my head hit by that car, and I had a hole. The hole was so big, you can put your whole fist in. So they stitched that left side up, and this day I still have that scar. And that scar, like I said, it just reminds me of God's faithfulness that this day I have no swelling. I'm grateful that I can remember everything.
Amen.
God will heal you and cover you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet.
Amen.
And kidney
Amen.
was removed. I have a scar that's on the other side of where the kidneys were removed. And just God's faithfulness that every scar that we have is just say, it just reminds me how Jesus was beaten. He took 39 stripes from us. And
Amen.
so, and that just reminds me of how the scars that's on my physical body is just a reminder that God is faithful, that He say, you know what? I can look at that and say, God kept me.
Amen.
It might have one kidney that God kept me through those scars. And so for that, I'm just so grateful and for His faithfulness, my right leg being broken. A lot of people can't walk. A lot of people have to be in wheelchairs and things like that. So
Amen. Yes. So now let me ask you this. So now we're talking about those physical scars, but now serving as a pastor's wife, there's some women in ministry who has really deep emotional and mental scars. So talk about that and how you can help to, bless other pastors' wives.
Let me just say, to every pastor's wife that there's always a blessing at the end of the tunnel. And there's always encouragement at the end of the tunnel. A lot of times they might not feel like there's a blessing. They might not feel there's an encouragement. They might not feel that they can make it. However, as a pastor's wife, you can get over your fears, you get over your pain, your hurt, and things like that. And a lot of times you may hear people say ministry is not easy when you're working with someone who works in the fivefold ministries, because they're going to look at, oh, the pastor is, so focused on the sheep. Whereas that when you at church or, anywhere, it's just like you may feel discarded or alone. The attention is not on you. So I will look at, the pastor's wife can be deeply complex, and they often carry the weight of expectations from their congregation or community or in family and or spouse. It can be hard at times, and it can lead to emotional and mental strain, because the focus of is being in ministry with your spouse can also just affect the wife, because the wife may feel like they that she may not be suitable for the call of being, when I say suitable for the call, of suitable being a first lady or suitable being a wife. But in the midst of that, they have to be strong. A lot of times you may want to give up. There are times being transferred, there are times I wanted to give up, but I have stayed the course, because I know what the Bible says, that men ought to always pray and not faint. And being a pastor's wife, you have to pray and fast. It's not always going to be good, not always going to be bad, neither.
Amen. Amen. Let me ask you this, Lady Tanya. Do you believe that a lot of pastors' wives are suffering in silence because they don't know what to say or what to do, or they feel like they have no voice?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I often think of that, Miss Yolanda, because a lot of times people do suffer in silence because they feel like they don't have a voice. And I say that because a lot of times people can be afraid to say something. A lot of times people may be afraid to say something because of insecurities. You have people that have been beat up in the church. You have people that have been beat up in the home. You just can't be one way in the house, and then when you get in public, you want to, be all of that in front of people. And a lot of times people go through a lot of things in private in the home, but when you get in public, you want to show off. And I use that word show off because a lot of people do go through things, and then knowing that that wife may have been beat up, not physically, but the emotionally, actions speak louder than words. You don't have to say anything, and sometimes the wife wants to be heard. If your focus is always on somebody, always calling the phone, just talking about their problems, and then when you have to, say something, you get cut off. A lot of times people do get cut off, when they have something to say. And so they go through a lot of emotional and mental experience because of things that they go through and they don't feel connected. They may feel connected in the home, maybe 50%, and then the other 50%, they may feel connected in the church. So it's like they do suffer in silence. And I think that women have to speak up, speak up, don't just sit there in silence or suffer in silence because you're not being heard at home or
Amen.
in your congregation. So you just have to be encouraged, be empowered, and just continue to lift yourself up. But I say lift yourself up. Nobody ever lift you up. You have to be the one to lift yourself up. And don't always sit in silence because you have a voice and you matter. And another thing too, you are enough. You are resilient. And so you have to take your personal versus your public identity or your pain and turn it into purpose.
Man, that is beautiful, Lady Tanya. And also, you mentioned about resilience. The Lord gave you a ministry called When Queens Bounce Back, and it's through this podcast and another outlet, When Queens Talk It Out, that you were able to share with women and first ladies about being resilient, about bouncing back from manipulation, from rejection, from verbal abuse, and even mental illness. So talk about those two platforms that the Lord has given you to help women.
Yes. God gave me When Queens Bounce Back, as my podcast, because you do have women out here who are not comfortable in their own skin. They don't feel like they can make it. They don't feel like they are strong enough. They don't feel like they are pretty enough. But I'm here to tell you that you can make it on broken pieces. You can make it in your strongness. You can make it on purpose. And you have to, I got to a point, Miss Yolanda, and it's like I travel a lot. And so God just gives me these thoughts, and I pray and I meditate and I talk to God in the car and things like that. And sometimes God just gives me things. And so you have to, and people may think it's crazy when you talk to yourself, but those talks, self-talk, self-care,
Encouraging, yes.
it's just like you have to do that. And what I do it just to build myself up, like Jude say, you have to build yourself up in your most holy faith. And so
Amen.
I build myself up by praying and talking to myself. And so I'm learning that, when queens bounce back, you have to be resilient. You have to know how to handle or discuss life challenges. You go through, I'm not a mother, I never had children, never anything, but I've seen how people go through labor pains. So you have to go through those labor pains in able to or in order to get what you have. You have to go through the pain of suffering, or you may have to go through the pain of hurt or rejection and things like that. But whatever pain that you go through, these are labor pains that people go through daily, and no one ever discovers it. That individual may discover it, but that individual, guess what, is silent. That's why you have resilience. So you look at resilience and you take the re off in their silence.
Amen.
And so you have to, come to a point that, you have to go through your breakthroughs, in a new chapter of your life to be strong and to go through those, labor pains. You have to push yourself to your purpose. The scripture says, and I says, pray, pray always, but you
Amen.
have to push, pray until you see something, because
Amen.
you can come out of your hurt, you can come out of your rejection, as long as you know that as a woman or a pastor's wife, that you can bounce back from anything you desire to break back from or break through from, because you have a voice.
Amen. Amen. And when you pray and you push
because God is there, God is with us, and He hears and answers prayers. And there's no need for any women, any pastors' wives to suffer in silence because we're here for one another. You know, we strengthen one another. We're all in community. We're part of the body of Christ, you know, and that's how, and a lot of times what happens, I believe, is that pastors' wives isolate themselves, and that is never a good thing. So talk about that isolation that some might experience.
Isolation, people look at that as a terrible word. Isolation, you separate yourself from individuals. Isolation causes depression. Isolation causes mental illness. Isolation causes you not to want to even talk to nobody. Cause you not to not want to go to the church to support your spouse or support maybe your family member, those who may have children. Isolation just caused so much, and the devil will use all of those things to cause you to focus on your pain, your rejection, and how to overcome isolation. You have to get in a place. Some people may feel uncomfortable talking to individuals, and they, some people may, you may say, "Oh, I can't talk to this person." But sometimes you have to get out there and just open up. And I can use myself. I felt isolation before I even became a pastor's wife. When I became a pastor's wife, I really felt the isolation because I felt how people, or I saw how people, will always communicate with the pastor. And sometimes you may have this look from other people, and this, it can be very disrespectful. It can be very hurting. And so when you try to explain yourself to maybe your spouse or maybe the mother of the church, and you know, it might not be everything you want to hear. And so they can say what they want to say, but they're going to always say, you know, "I have to minister to this person." But sometimes the pastor, you know, have to always have to put separate the two. You have the ministry, and then you have your home. But your home always come first. God come first, of course, but you always have to separate the two. You know, you can't always like shun your wife or shun whoever that you're connected to communicate. A lot of times, people go in isolation because of fear. A lot of people go into isolation because they, again, they don't have a voice. You know, they feel they're going to be shunned, or they're going to be hurt, or nobody is not going to hear what they have to say. But you have to realize that you have to know who you are and know your values and your beliefs and your strengths and your uniqueness and your, you know, your qualities in life. You have to pick yourself up. When you feel like you are down to nothing, just know that God can pick you up in the midst of your isolation. Isolation, again, causes depression. Hurt. You can't sleep at night. You can't eat. And you start, the devil start playing in your mind about this and that. Or, "I don't feel love. I don't feel pretty enough." And so isolation, you know, is a dangerous thing to fall into the trap of the enemy. So you have to realize that you have a voice and you have power to rebuke the spirit of isolation from your life.
Amen.
Being lonely is not always good. But you have to look at yourself in the mirror and talk to yourself and say, "You know what? Whatever your name may be," and just say to yourself, "You know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I have a voice. God is with me." It's like the Bible says in Psalms 46, "Be still and know that I am God."
Amen. Amen. That is so beautiful, Lady Tanya. Let's do this, if you would please. Go ahead and continue to encourage to pastors' wives as we begin to close out. And then what I'd like you to do is to close us out in prayer. And also, I will provide the link to your podcast in the episode notes.
Yes, ma'am, sounds amazing. So, to every pastor's wife that's out there listening, I want to encourage you on today to look up and live. Look up and live. Love you. No, speak to yourselves, like the Bible says, speak to yourself in your most in Psalms, spiritual hymns, and things like that. And be just be encouraged and just speak to yourself and encourage yourself. There's always remember there is purpose in pain. Reflect on, your struggles and your hardship. Know that God can deliver you from wherever you are going through. Just know that you are not in this alone. You have to be strong. You have to know that you are restored, you are renewed, you are regenerated. And guess what? You can recover all. Don't ever feel like you are by yourself. And we just spoke about isolation. Just have faith in God and know that He is with you and He will never leave you nor forsake you. So be encouraged, pastors' wives. Know that when you go through things in private, God can restore you and give you the resilience that you need in public, in your private moments, wherever you may be, in your car. God can give you that strength that you need. There's purpose in your pain. There's purpose in your praise. There's purpose in deliverance. The Bible said He would never leave us nor forsake us. So if God is with us, guess what? We should never feel isolated and be alone. We should never feel like we don't have a voice because we do have a voice because we matter. We matter in the things of God. We matter when we have to sit in church knowing that things are not going well, but you have faith to know that you are more than a conqueror. Just stay prayerful 24/7 and know that God is with you. Just be that strength for your husband, your spouse. As we all know, ministry is not easy, but you can stand. You can make it on broken pieces. Even when the people in the congregation don't respect you, guess what? You can make it on broken pieces. If they never utter a hello to you, guess what? You can make it on broken pieces because you matter to God. And guess what? And you matter to yourself. Every time you look in that mirror, just say, I matter. I am enough. I can be strong. I can stand. And I can serve. Just keep doing what you're doing as unto the Lord. And trust me, things will work out in your favor. Father, we just thank you for this time. And God, I just ask you, God, that whoever may be listening, Father God, Lord God, whatever they may be going through, spiritual and mental strain, Father, God, let them know that you are with them to lift every burden. God, the emotional labor pains that they may go through, Father, help them that know that you can push them into their purpose, Father God. And God, we just thank you, God, that some soul will be healed, delivered, and set free
Yes.
from the pain of isolation, the pain of rejection and abuse, and being just spiritually and mentally and physically abused, Father God. God, we know that they can be healed, be delivered, and be set free, Lord God. God, encourage every pastor's wife, God. We encourage every man, woman, boy, or girl, God, that needs to know that they make a difference, Father, and that they can stand strong and stand still in knowing that you are with them, God. And Father, we just thank you for this time. We just thank you for this time, Lord. We just thank you for the host, God, Miss Yolanda Tyler, Lord God, that you would continue to bless her, God, continue to strengthen her, God. Open up doors that no man can shut, shutter with no man can open, God. God, we just thank you for your divine favor, blessing, and increase around her and her family, oh God. God, give her strength and encouragement, God, to keep pushing, God, to keep praying, God, and to thank you, God, for her purpose, Father God, to reach the masses, Father God. We just thank you for this day and this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Lady Tanya, and I appreciate your time.
Yes, ma'am, again, and thank you for having me on your podcast today. God
You're
bless you.
welcome. God bless you too.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Truth Podcast with Bible teacher Yolanda Tyler. Please subscribe to our podcast so you will know when the next episode is published. To hear more biblical teachings and give to support the ministry, please visit our website at www.thekingdomtruth.org. That is www.thekingdomtruth.org. God bless you until we meet again.